best friend.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
For my friends.
77 WABC.
Passover, folks, you Jews up in Colombia, fight back, spit right in their face. You walk down there, they're standing there with their flags and their kafirs, standing, yelling, and screaming, spit right in their face. Go for it. I don't care. We need to fight back. None of this Jews go home. We ain't going home. In fact, we're showing up. I got a whole bunch of people texting me this morning. They're going to come with me. Let's do this. Let's show these animals and the city that we are not going to go silently. My good buddy George Liberatos, him and his father Pete, own my favorite diner, the Oasis Diner, Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn. And George's wife and George had a baby on Friday, and the baby's name is Pierce, but he's Greek, George. So the real name is Petro, but it's Pierce, I guess, would be his American name. So congratulations to George. Great job there. All right, it is 6:52 on your Monday morning. We start our guest list with a guy that I love. He is a great congressman out of Long Island, pro-Israel, and him and I pretty much on the same page, and that is Anthony D'Esposito. Anthony, good morning, buddy. How are you?
What's up, my brother? How are you? How was your birthday?
My birthday was lovely. I did read what you wrote on Friday, which was very nice about the foxhole. But I got to tell you, man, I'm not sure I want to be in a foxhole these days with Johnson. Now, look, I met him because of you. We went to that party before the State of the Union. He was very sweet. We had a nice conversation, and I like him. But I got to tell you, I'm not sure Marjorie Taylor Greene isn't all wrong. I know that you have to, I guess, compromise to get stuff done. You've got a razor-thin edge in the House. I get that. But 60-plus billion to the Ukraine? Are you people nuts?
So I think, listen, I think we've had this conversation before. I think Mike Johnson has probably the toughest job in the United States of America. He's operating not only with a razor-thin majority, you know, even if that majority was increased by another 10 or so, you still have a group on the far right who, you know, have really made it tough for him to govern. I mean, with every action that he makes, there's a threat with that motion to vacate. And quite frankly, I've said this over the last few weeks, that's a rule that we should change. McCarthy agreed to that, and I think it has truly been detrimental to the operation of one of the oldest institutions in this country. And the only way to get these bills through, including Israel, which is important to both of us, was to compromise. And yeah, you know, giving Ukraine close to $60 billion, there was, you know, some wins in there for conservatives. They haven't been talked about on the mainstream media. But the fact that $23 billion of it is going back to the United States of America for weapons and stocks and facilities, I think is important. I think that some of it, the fact that we were able to sell some of it as a loan is important. Is it where all the money we wanted to go? Absolutely not. But I think we have to look at the wins, which was making sure that we get $26 billion for Israel.
All right, so that's good. You got $26 billion for Israel. Again, you did talk about the arms and the loan and all that, so it's not really $62 billion. It's probably half of that. Taiwan gets some money, But again, to Marjorie Taylor Greene's point, and Israel, you know, for me is number two. I go border number one. I'm still American first. Israel number two. And then number three doesn't matter to me. I think every penny you give Ukraine is a waste. This idea that Putin is going to take over the world. Have you been watching this war the last 2 years? He's lost. I mean, the Russians, they're pathetic. He's not taking over Poland or anything. So I go border one, Israel two, and there's still no money for the border.
Well, I there was opportunity for the border on Saturday when we voted. That was the first vote, and it was taken down. And I think that the Republicans here, and including whether you're on the far right fringe or a more moderate like me, with common sense, we have to continue to focus on the fact that we are the only party, the only piece of government in Washington, D.C., that has actually passed a border security bill in H.R. 2. And we need to continue to get that message out because the Democrats, quite frankly, are trying to spin this message now. And we heard it during the Swazi race that, you know, they came up with this magical bipartisan plan with Senator Lankford and it was going to solve all the world's problems. It hasn't even passed the Senate. There is no bill. I mean, I get criticized daily on social media. Why did you vote down the bipartisan border bill? Because there was no bipartisan border bill. It didn't pass the Senate. The only people who have passed border security in this country to make this country more safe, to secure our border and to reverse the disastrous policies of Joe Biden and bring back the Trump policies are House Republicans.
Those are the only people, because as far as I know, there's been a bill, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I get confused with all these bills. It's like four stand alone now, but I believe there's been a bill on Chuck Schumer's desk for the longest time, and he's done nothing with it.
Since last May, H.R. 2, which was the Secure the Border Act, it was a piece of legislation that has been argued as probably the most comprehensive border security bill in decades, came out of the House Homeland Security Committee, which three Long Islanders sat on and made sure that it got through, myself, Lolota Garbarino. It went to the floor, it passed the floor, and it's been sitting on Chuck Schumer's desk collecting dust, like much other good legislation that has come out of the House of Representatives. So when they talk about dysfunction, they should point first at Chuck Schumer in the Senate.
He really is an enemy of the state at this point, Chuck Schumer. I mean, you heard my first segment, and I want people to know that Anthony D'Esposito texted me right away and said, I'll be standing right next to you at Columbia, which may happen today. And I believe when you say that, but where's Schumer? I mean, we keep talking about where are the Jewish. Not that it matters, not that he's more important to me than you are. In fact, it's not even close. But it would be nice for a Jewish politician to act like he cares. Where the hell is Chuck Schumer?
I think it's very simple. I think that we've seen when you look at polls in places like Michigan and Minnesota and places throughout the country where Democrats and especially progressives have historically done well, and they are getting tense concerns from their far left progressive side, and that's who they're pandering to. They may not want to admit it, but they are pandering to.
You know, I got to stop you for a second. You keep saying far left progressive side, and I'm going to stop you because that's the only side. This idea that we've got common sense Democrats and they want what's good for America and Israel doesn't exist. The far left progressive side has taken over everybody, the whole Democrat Party at this point, including the president who sold himself as a moderate, are all far left.
And that answers your question. Why are they not coming out and supporting Israel? Because of that reason, because they are afraid of the now majority of their party.
Well, that's not good enough for me.
Anti-Semitic, anti-American, and certainly anti-Israel.
Well, you voted for Israel this weekend. You vote for Israel every time. And again, I've asked you this before, but if you wouldn't mind, I mean, look, I'm a Jewish kid, grew up in Brooklyn. My dad was Orthodox, not the most religious guy on the block, but certainly a proud Jew since I'm born. How does Italian-born Anthony D'Esposito love Israel more than Jewish Chuck Schumer? How does that happen?
I think it's about loving Israel, it's about doing the right thing, and it's about loving America. That's what this is about. I mean, when you have – listen, I represent one of the most Jewish, if not the most Jewish district in the entire United States of America. I understand the issues that we're facing. I think it's clear that Israel is literally that thin blue line in the Middle East that is the key to peace. And if we don't continue to support them and make sure that they have every resource necessary to eradicate terrorist organizations from this planet – then I'm not really sure what it is that we're focused on.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
You know, I was watching Maria Bartiromo yesterday. She's the only person I watch on Sundays. I can't watch that awful Welker who replaced Chuck Todd. Not that he was great on Meet the Press. I'll never watch Margaret Brennan. She's so disrespectful on Face the Nation. And I despise George Stephanopoulos. So the only person I can really watch, is Maria. So she started her show yesterday with some congressman out of Michigan. His name is John Molinar. And they were talking about how China, Anthony D'Esposito, is knee-deep subsidizing the fentanyl crisis, how they're actually giving tax benefits and grants to companies that make these drugs. Other companies, which makes medicine to help people's lives, they give them nothing. But these companies making these illegal drugs, China actually goes out of their way to provide them with grants and tax benefits. How could that possibly be okay?
Yeah, I mean, this was something that we addressed in one of our subcommittees in Homeland Security, and the facts, you know, those are the facts, that they are providing tax incentives to companies who are creating and manufacturing fentanyl. And listen, I think Americans need to focus on the reality here. And the reality is we are at war, and war doesn't always equate to missiles and combat. It equates to foreign adversaries actually trying to kill Americans, and that's exactly what the Chinese Communist Party continues to do.
Yeah, somebody was saying on TV over the weekend, you know, if China goes into Taiwan, and I know you guys are part of this $90-plus billion bill, money goes to Taiwan with Ukraine and Israel. If China really does that, then we're in World War III. And the other person on the panel said, hate to break it to you, we are already in World War III. Isn't that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the truth. And I think that what we're seeing is, you know, one of the things that we've focused on in the Homeland Security Committee is the attacks that America is facing in so many different ways, whether it's cybersecurity, whether it's like you mentioned with the influx of fentanyl, not only coming through our southern border, much of the time facilitated by cartels and the Chinese, but the actual incentives that they're providing in China in order to produce this deadly poison that are killing hundreds of thousands of Americans every year.
So on the way out, Anthony, what can we do about these anti-Israel protests at Columbia? Since their feckless President Shafik, who should resign or be fired, something spoke on Capitol Hill 5 days ago, it's been 5 days of hell. And again, the rabbi telling Jewish students to go home, which initially I thought was a good idea. The more I think about it, it's a terrible idea. Stay and fight. What can we do?
Well, I think that, you know, both of us were on the same page early this morning. I woke up, I was reading some of the news, and I thought to myself, where better to be than Columbia and stand arm in arm with our Jewish neighbors who are fighting the good fight. So I think that's important. I think fleeing, although I understand the argument of keeping those students safe, I think having the Jewish students go home and learn virtually is just giving these anti-Semitic, hate-filled individuals more credit than they deserve. And quite frankly, I think what we're going to see if you and I head over to Columbia today is that most of these individuals, although they hate America and hate Israel, some of them don't even know what they're there fighting about because they're paid. They're there just to wreak havoc and to make their next TikTok video. So I think the best thing that we can do is stand with the Jewish people, let them know that they do have elected officials and people in the media like you who support them, who care about them, and who will fight side by side with them to make sure that they are kept safe.
So I can count on you. I got to leave relatively early to be home in time for my first Passover Seder, but I can count on you, Anthony D'Esposito, to be joining me at Columbia University sometime this afternoon to show some solidarity for our Jewish friends.
Absolutely. Just keep me posted because I'm a little further out from Columbia than you are.
So. Yeah, that's true. I will keep you posted. As always, Anthony D'Esposito, tremendous job. I look forward to seeing you later on today. Thank you so much.
All right, brother. I'll see you then.
Anthony D'Esposito, congressman out of Long Island. And I start the show an hour ago by saying whether it's A.B. Hamra or Johnny Afradi, Michael Rappaport, True Hate Database, all these folks, time to go to Columbia today before Pesach starts tonight and show some solidarity. It took D'Esposito and Audie Idala less than 5 minutes, two Italians, to say, we're coming with you.